The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Last Thursday, I was in Galway at the Irish MedTech Annual Conference. It's a really important sector in the country, with 25,000 people directly employed in it. Some big multinational companies, but also lots of Irish indigenous firms who have done extraordinarily well in developing very modern, innovative products and services. At the event, one of the people I interviewed was the chief executive of IBEC, Danny McCoy, and I was taken by how positive he was about the Irish economy and its prospects. And this was even a day before the deal was done between the European Union and Britain over Brexit and the Irish border. So I asked him to join us here on the programme this evening. Danny McCoy, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, Matt.
We're sometimes accused of being very negative in all the stories that we do, and particularly over the last decade when we've had the economic crash since 2008 and people saying they don't see signs of recovery. You see more than signs of recovery. You think we've done exceptionally well. Tell us why.
Yeah, and in fact, by your intro there, talking about the medtech sector, I think that's probably one of the hidden gems, particularly from the east coast of the country. So much of it is concentrated along the western seaboard. And, medtech is probably the exemplar of the substance story. And I'll use this word substance quite a bit. And I do that deliberately because I'm 30 years looking at the Irish economy from various guys, including the ESRI and Central Bank and from abroad. And I've never seen the Irish economy in a more spectacular shape, and actually driven by something quite different as well. There was a lot of scepticism about 2015 GDP numbers. The economy grew by a third, effectively.
Yeah, this is the leprechaun economic,
exactly.
Paul Krugman said about it.
Precisely. And of course, with a lot of naysayers domestically as well, only too willing to jump onto the parody. But in fact, it's been driven by something that could be best described as a resource economy effect, a bit like finding oil. And the modern day equivalent is this intellectual property, intangible assets that are embedded in corporate balance sheets. And the reason it's come cascading towards Ireland is a result of the work the OECD did on corporate taxation, where you have to align your substance with your tax strategy. And so Ireland's always very clearly had a tax strategy. We've always been proud of that. It's combined with the skilled workforce, English speaking, an open, tolerant society. But the tax strategy is obviously very important. I'm sure we will talk a little bit more about that. But this is a very different type of phenomenon we're dealing with now, because companies have moved their substance to Ireland. And in the vanguard of this, it tends to come in not job rich at the start. They're moving in their assets. And so in 2015, just take that year, what drove the one third growth in the economy as measured by this thing GDP was that the corporate balance sheet in Ireland increased by 40% that year. And then from that balance sheet, the extraction of activity or profit was about 60 billion euros. And so that was kind of a game changer. And so people say, well, that brought us nothing. That's only kind of will-o'-the-wisp stuff. Look at the corporate tax revenue. The government was expecting to get about 4.3 billion of corporate taxes in 2015. When the year was over, they got 6.9 billion. So they had a 2.6 billion surprise, which means at a 12.5% corporation tax rate, it means there's over 20 billion of profits coming from Irish now domiciled balance sheets. And so that 6.9 billion went to 7.7 billion last year in 16, and this year it looks like it'll be well in excess of 8 billion. That's a lot of resources into our economy, or like a royalty from the oil.
And yet a lot of people say that companies are not paying enough tax in Ireland, they should be paying more.
Well, when you look at the numbers, and even the Revenue Commissioner's numbers, you can see that a lot of the big companies that are brands that are out there, let's just use the one that everyone talks about, Apple, because Apple's involved in a fight with the European Commission from the old corporation tax regime, the one that had the double Irish and so on, and that'll go through its natural course. But just so happens Apple are back again in the news with the Paradise Papers a couple of weeks back, where they say they'd now gone to Jersey with two companies. And if you look at that, you would then think that Apple had moved, their substance again away from Ireland. It's not the truth of it, because Tim Cook went on the public record, the CEO of Apple, to say that they'd paid 400 odd million in 2015 in corporate taxes. And it wasn't a one-year wonder, because the last 3 years they've been able to report they've paid us nearly 1.3 billion of corporate tax revenue. That's just one company. Now, we are overexposed on our corporate tax revenue to a few companies, so this is not necessarily a solid basis on which to progress the economy. But just like a resource economy, it gives you the choice to build public infrastructure in a way that's not been matched today with what's going on, even in the medtech, biopharma, in the private investment that's going on by corporate Ireland, which is just massive.
Let's just stay with the taxa, because even today, and we discussed this briefly on the programme with Ian Guider last night, Facebook saying it will no longer book non-US revenues through its Dublin unit.
Sure.
So that's led people to fear, okay, if others follow that strategy, that means there might be less revenues and profits declared in Ireland and therefore less corporate tax to be collected.
Yes, and it might, okay? But let's distinguish between two kind of different phenomena here. Facebook haven't become an Irish company in the trend that I've been talking about, where companies like Medtronic, Ingersoll Rand, Accenture, these are now Irish companies. The foreign bit gets dropped. It's not foreign direct investment. It is now Irish. And a lot of their profits in the Medtronic being one of the largest medtech companies in the world, a lot of their activities take place abroad now will bring back profits here. Facebook is slightly different in that they were bringing activity transactions through here. But actually, when you look at the net amount of money that was exposed to the Irish Exchequer, it was 30 million euros in the Facebook context. It's a very different type of model. And they've broken ground, I suppose, overnight from the other tech companies who are having a fight with the European Commission about how do you tax. And there is a logic to what the European Commission are bringing forward, but it's a dangerous logic for Europe. They're saying that you should put the corporate taxes where the customer is, not where the company chooses to locate. If you take that to its logical conclusion, Europe is only 7% of the world's population. And if you decide that this is going to be the trend, then a lot of corporate taxation will go to China and India, because that's where the consumers are. And that won't be to the advantage of the BMWs and the big engineering companies of Europe and French companies. So we need to be careful here as Europeans that we are not just little islanders trying to hold on for our own, but we actually make a statement that says we've a lot of experience on corporate taxation. If you want to talk to somebody in Europe who's at the frontier of this, then talk to Ireland.
Okay, but for future investment into the country, how much of a inhibition has been placed on the ability to grow the economy, even though it is growing, by the failure to build new housing for people to live in who are working in the jobs? I mean, did we miss, for example, a Brexit dividend because companies decided not to relocate to Ireland from Britain because, quite simply, they couldn't find enough places for people to live in?
We did a bit, and we can come back in a second, but one of the things that really my thesis here is that what's different this time, and I'm not saying it's good nor bad, because this is the equivalent of a family winning the lottery. It can either be the making of the family or will destroy the family. And if you don't know the difference, it'll be the latter. And we have a little bit of that pressure in our economy right now.
I don't think many people think that the economy has won the lottery. I mean, you've explained what has changed the last couple of years, but I don't think that's widely appreciated, is it?
It's not widely appreciated, but actually the households themselves self-report their own income. They did so during the year to the Household Budget Survey, which is a way of collecting information on what weight we spend, you know, how much, for 10% on whatever, soft drinks, 10% on food, whatever it might be. But they also revealed their income. The average Irish household income is 1,100 euros a week. It's 55,000 euros a year. That puts us into this league of where people are looking at us as a rich country. So that's self-reported. And that's growing at about 5% because of this dividend that's going through the economy. We have, Matt, the equivalent of kind of private affluence developing. You know, the airports are full of the second holidays and so on, and we see that around the quality of housing, etc. But the unfortunate thing is, instead of getting extra houses for the people who need it, a lot of what's going on is the incumbents actually retrofitting their houses, which is perfectly normal and rational to do, but there's a lot of private affluence and we don't have enough of allocation into public infrastructure. But we're shooting ourselves in the foot here because we're not constrained by EU fiscal rules if we use public-private partnerships. But we've an antipode as a society to paying user charges, which will allow the private piece to provide the capital.
Explain
that
a bit more.
So when you use a public-private partnership to provide what is a public good, which would be a motorway, let's say, or a school, one of the ways that you can get it off the state's books to allow you to borrow more and to provide it would be to bring in the private sector to be a kind of a co-financing part. In order to establish that it is truly private, there has to be a rate of return, a flow of income to the private part, which requires an income stream, which is either user charges or some kind of water charges if you had privatised the water. I know people are upset that it might have got privatised.
Well, but that ain't going to happen.
But they're in us shooting ourselves in the foot, because we won't allow the private financing of public infrastructure. We're constraining ourselves. And the real gap that's occurring right now is you're seeing a lot of private investment. Corporates in Ireland are investing 1 billion euros a month at the moment, like 12 billion a year. And you see that in the medtech we talked about, the great factories down in down in Galway, which is a real hub for it. But they're actually locked in the Parkmore Industrial Estate because they can't get the public infrastructure of road network to get them in and out to work. So you have huge investments going in, and yet the public infrastructure is letting us down, including provision of housing, road space, etc. Our population is rising, the money is there, and we are constraining against ourselves.
The money is there because you get the impression from listening to government that the money isn't there, that they're still concerned about the absolute level of national debt, which has to be brought down in advance of the next downturn.
You know, it's ironic. We haven't a debt problem. When you, if a company looked at the debt problems that the government says they're a burden under, would look at this and say, yes, sure, we've got debt in absolute amount, but you know what? We've got a growing economy. We've got a growing business. We've got lots of opportunities and needs. Debt is a relative concept, and so the relative debt in Ireland is falling like a stone right now. We were up in terms of national debt about 120%. We're down now around 70%, and in net terms, because the National Treasury Management Agency, quite rightly, is holding well in excess of 20 billion in near cash liquid assets. So in net terms, our national debt has halved in 3 years. How is that done? The story I've just been telling you about is we're just seeing the most biggest advantage of being the right place at the right time.
Should the government loosen the purse strings, make major investment in transport infrastructure and build a whole clatter of public houses to relieve pressure on the rented sector and rising prices in the private housing sector?
Yes.
How much should they spend?
Well, they should be spending about 4% of GDP in our view. And GDP is now quite fast heading for about 300 billion a year. So we're talking about 12 billion euros of investment this economy could sustain.
Each year.
And currently we're now just shy of 6.
So we should be doubling the amount of public investment.
Absolutely.
But yet, doesn't the Fiscal Advisory Council tell, oh, don't do that, you'll overheat the economy?
And that's people who are looking at the economy believing it to be a steady state. Normal economies can't grow by 1/3 in a single year. Economies that find a resource, like we have to go differently. So places like Qatar and the places that we look at and say, well, God, weren't they so lucky? We're actually the lucky ones now. What do? They put a sovereign wealth fund and they make sure it doesn't go into current expenditure, make sure you don't lose competitiveness day in, day out. You take that money, you put it into the things that you value, like education, roads, social housing, etc.
We only have a minute left to us. The Brexit outcome, well, we got a stage further along the way. No border on the island. There will not be a border down the Irish Sea. So how much of a benefit is that? Can we survive Britain leaving the European Union?
No, the truth of the matter is that Britain is still a huge part of our economic fortunes. And so a bad Brexit and Brexit even happening is still bad. But the weekend and the diplomatic success, and hats off to the Irish government and the diplomats, that outcome has certainly put Britain on the right track as well. We now have an opportunity to see Britain stay within a customs union, possibly within a single market.
So, and do we have to be Britain's friend in these negotiations between it and the European Union?
Oh, absolutely. And because, you know, as Irish people, we may be looking at the chaos that is their leadership there. Britain is a fundamentally strong, solid, tolerant society for business and for globalisation. And together, I think these two islands have become absolute hubs of globalisation to the betterment of both societies. Britain has had their best decades in their history recently, and we too have, and I think that's not a surprise. We're both open to globalisation. Them going the wrong way is actually going to be to our detriment ultimately. There'll be some opportunities, but fundamentally Brexit is still bad.
Danny McCoy of IBEC, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.